Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. All right, welcome back everyone. I'm laughing and I'll tell you why in just a minute, but today we're just going to kind of dive in. As you guys know that this has been a solo cast for me for the last 2 years almost, which is kind of crazy for me to think that I've been doing this that long. And I get requests a lot of the time for people to come and be guests on the podcast. And I've just never taken that leap. I think because it just feels uncomfortable to me. It took me so long to get comfortable doing this just myself. So the idea of having to navigate through adding someone else and what that would look like, because it's just little me over here, has felt very intimidating to me. So for a while now, I've been tossing around the idea of having my daughter, Maddie, on. Say hello, Maddie.
Hey, everyone.
And so today we have Madison West, my daughter, on the show. And the reason why I decided to do this, well, A, she's been wanting to do it with me for a while. But B, I really love the idea of having this younger perspective. Because in this space, you know, you're usually attracted to something that's relatable to you. You know, you're attracted to people that you have commonalities with. So it's not a far stretch to say that a big chunk of our listeners are middle-aged female women who are perimenopausal or are through menopause. And so I think that this piece gets missed often with this younger generation and the influence of peptides on them. So I thought it'd be interesting just to get her perspective and get some of her experiences. I often get questions from a lot of y'all about, I have this young adult child and I was thinking about this for them. And she can kind of go through to a lot of like that relationship between us and peptide use and that sort of thing and what's helped her and what's not. And the reason why I was laughing is because my kids find this cringy that I do this. And so even hear me talking, you find it cringy.
Well, I was about to say, what's up, podsters? Because I thought we were testing it and we were not.
Oh.
And you started and anyways.
So.
But yeah, it's one of those things where I can't, like, I always engage with it. Like, I'll send you a like or whatever, but I can't. I don't know. I don't know what the disconnect is there for me, but.
Because your mom's on a podcast?
I guess, maybe. But now I'm on a podcast, so there you go.
There you go. We're making this a family affair, folks. Okay, so what do you want the listeners to know about you, Maddie? You just say whatever you want to say.
I don't know.
I am Tara's kid, obviously. I'm 25. Beautiful. I live in Austin, work for her. That's basically it.
About to get engaged and married.
Yeah. I have a dog. I don't know.
We have a dog named Nancy.
Y'all drop a comment. Tell me what you want to know. I don't know.
We have a little dog named Nancy, Maddie's little toy schnauzer, and she is the love of my life. I can't only imagine what an actual grandchild's going to be like. But right now, we're just trying to get her married, right? Okay, so we did kind of spitball some questions yesterday, just so we weren't totally going into this blind, but we didn't really discuss them because I wanted this to be authentic and organic. But let's talk about some of this. Let's see. So how do you think from pre-peptique, pre-coming on board, how do you think your perspective on peptides have changed from like maybe the little that you knew from watching like your dad and I use them and the changes we made in our lives to what you know now?
I think most people's introduction to peptides, and I don't even think that a lot of people are cognizant of this maybe, but it was GLPs. That's the biggest thing I think for everybody right now.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was even a peptide at the time. So I think I really came in from having no knowledge base about what these things are at all to now we have like what, 53, 55 unique products that do a variety of different things and serve a variety of different needs. So I would just say my literacy on what each one does is probably a lot better just because I actually didn't have anything to compare it to before, but that's basically it.
Yeah. Do you think kids of your generation, sorry, young adults?
No, I'm a child. It's fine.
You're my child. Do you think that your generation is different in how they view peptides than, because I'll put it this way, like my generation looks at peptides from a rejuvenation, restoration, healing, because, you know, as you get older, these things start to deteriorate. And so I got into peptides because I was tired of feeling old, looking old, all the things. And I was being told at the time, well, this is just you getting older. Like, this is just deal with it. And of course, there's some vanity involved in that, but I wanted to feel better, right? Sure. And I don't think your generation, they're not there yet. They don't have to look at these things from that perspective. And I'm curious, what do you think the interest, why do you think it piques people's interest that are your age?
I've seen twofold with people. I've seen kind of the overarching thing here on for both men and women is completely vanity behind it. I think most people, again, it's the GLPs predominantly. But people, men my age, I would say, it's much more so for building muscle, things like that. For women and the friends that I have that I've talked to about this, a lot of it's very anti-aging, GLP oriented.
Even at your age, you think?
100%, yes.
Because I wasn't thinking about anti-aging stuff.
That's all anyone talks about, that's my age. I mean, there's 10-year-olds using retinol on TikTok now. Like, it's ridiculous.
I think that's interesting because when I was your age, I wasn't thinking about anti-aging. I was laying in a tanning bed.
That's all I think about when I'm doing my skincare, truly.
Well, and I think that your generation's going to benefit from that. Not just from the aesthetic of how your skin's going to look, but just long-term health. If I had known now, if I knew in my 20s what I know now, I think I would have aged a lot differently, a lot better. So I have noticed that even with you, like your skincare routine and everything that you look at is way more advanced than what we considered. And I guess part of that's just the climate that we live in.
100%. But I also will say there is a different side of that coin where I have come across a lot of people my age that have struggled with autoimmune, what have you, chronic illness. So I think there is an overarching thing across the board, across age, across gender there where there are people that genuinely just suffer from chronic illness, chronic pain, chronic whatever, where they've exhausted all their resources and they're looking for something different. And I have friends that I can personally vouch for that specifically with autoimmune, where we've had them on different cycles of things and they've wildly benefited from it. And none of it had to do with vanity.
Yeah. And I think that's true. That's a whole other conversation in the sense that my generation didn't grow up talking about autoimmune stuff. It's just not something that was in the conversation because it was kind of an unknown. And so I've also worked with a ton of people that have had autoimmune issues, women, you know, more my age, but also younger women. Like we talk about, you know, Logan's soon to be fiance. She has some autoimmune stuff and she said that her symptoms are a lot better once we got her on a couple of things. And she's younger than you are, you know? So I definitely see that. I just, again, it's something that I don't know if it was as common or as prevalent when I was your age as people are talking about it now. But I think that goes back to kind of the environment that we're in, right? All the stuff that we can bombarded with as far as toxins in our environment every day. I think our food, you know, kind of contribute to that. So I think that's really interesting. I think that's actually really, I'm excited for your generation that they have more information and more of these tools at their fingertips.
100%.
Okay. Let's dive in. I want to talk about, and we'll kind of go back to some of these other questions, but some of your experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly with certain peptides. And maybe we'll start with the bad and the ugly and end with the good.
Yes. So precursor, I just feel like I need to say this. Everyone is their own person, and that means that you have your own biogenetic makeup. So please take what I say with a grain of salt. This is just my own personal experience. What works for me, what doesn't work for me, might work or not work for you. All that being said, the two that come to mind that I struggled with or just had like a bad interaction with, when we first got oxytocin in, I was just very curious. Just, I don't know. I work here, so sometimes I'm just like, oh, I could try it. That's fine.
Well, I think we were both super curious about it because it's supposed to be like this make you feel good.
Yes.
Like the connection. They call it the connectivity peptide, right? And so I shouldn't say feel good, but it is supposed to kind of give you that, like where you feel connected with someone. So your reaction to it, which I'll let you talk about, was actually interesting to me, but go ahead.
So I had taken it for probably 3 days and I would get off of work and I'm not a cry, like I don't really cry ever. And I would get off of work and I would just call my boyfriend. I would be like sobbing and I didn't know what was wrong. And he was like, I don't know what your deal is either, because this is just not like you. And it wasn't. It's not like me at all. So I just, you know, retraced my steps and was going back through what I had done differently in the past couple of days. And I truly believe it was that. I just had a different reaction than what other people might have. So that's one of them.
And well, then, I mean, let's stop at that, though, because I really want to touch on this, because as much as like I think the experiences are important, I think you need to understand maybe why you had that reaction, right? Because oxytocin is a powerful thing. And it is naturally occurring, right? But it is it's one of the neuromodulating peptides. And so when you're dealing with something that has to do with your brain chemistry, you're going to see a wild variety of difference in other people that it works for, a wild variety of doses that it can work for with someone. And I remember telling you this because this doesn't really have to do with the brain chemistry. It's interesting. But I like taking oxytocin in small doses just situationally. So like a lot of people like to take it if they're going to go and be around a bunch of people and they want to feel that connectivity, or if they want to have more intimacy with their partner or something like that, they'll take it for that. Maddie just gave me a cringy face because I said that.
We don't got to talk about that. And we don't got to talk about that.
But that's a big chunk of why people take that. But anyway, this lady, do you remember this? This lady reached out to me that said that she had gotten these horrible stomach cramps, doubled over in pain.
Oh, yeah. That was really bad. Like I felt really bad for her.
She felt like she was in labor. And I think one of the things that people don't realize is that oxytocin is what they give you in the hospital to throw you into labor when you get induced.
I had no idea. I remember that, though. That was bad. I felt really bad.
Well, but I asked her, like, how high of a dose she took, and she had taken, like, this crazy high dose. And I was like, oh, well, no wonder you felt like you were in childbirth. And I'm glad you didn't have that experience.
Yeah, no. And that's the other thing with this, is everything that we do, I always microdose whatever it is just to see how my body reacts, which leads me to the second peptide that I'd take.
No, but wait, I was going to say, had you had that experience, I probably would never have grandchildren.
Okay. Let's not be dramatic.
Okay. So the whole point, though, is with especially these peptides that really work within the brain chemistry, I think we have to be really careful for.
Yeah.
Are careful with, rather. But sorry, I keep interrupting you.
So that leads me to the second peptide that I can think of that I had kind of an adverse reaction to, which was actually retatrutide, which is a GLP. So this apparently can happen in some people, and I guess I just have the perfect storm of biochemistry for it. But I had been on it for about a month, and during that month, I was not getting any deep sleep, any REM sleep. I have an Oura ring like everyone else, and I track that. And I remember I came in to work one day and I just started sobbing. I'm one of those people, when I don't sleep, I just break down like a toddler. I just have no tolerance for it. And I just told my mom, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm doing everything right. My HRV is terrible. I'm not sleeping. And it took her a minute, but she looked at me and was like, oh my God, it's totally the Retta is what it is.
Yeah.
I guess you can speak more on the science behind what might have been.
I think what I don't I was kind of mad at myself because I should have caught it earlier. And it just, I think because you always complain about your sleep, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but I just was like, oh, you're always tired. That's always something. So I didn't realize how badly it was affecting you. And then all of a sudden, after that day, I was kind of sitting back at my desk and I was thinking about it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's the Retta, because that can really be impactful for some people with their HRV and their deep sleep, and you're not getting the recovery. So for someone like you that already really struggles with that, for it to even tank a little bit more is going to be wildly impactful. And that's what happened. And so the second, you know, we were like, okay, let's get off of it, you rebounded very quickly.
Oh yeah. No, it wasn't. Like after the fact, it's one of those things that I just laugh about it, because what else are you going to do? But in terms of my personal reactions to peptides that I haven't loved, those are the two that I can think of that are of note. But positive experiences, I've had a lot. I will say, we were just discussing, I've always struggled with fatigue. That's not a new thing for me. I've been this way since I was a little kid. And I remember I cycled MOTC first, and I've done multiple cycles of that. But the best cycle that I did was where I used SS31, which is more of a mitochondrial healer, a primer for that, if I remember correctly. I'll let you speak to that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. I mean, it's an oversimplification, because SS31 could do a lot of different things. But in this space, we normally talk about it for mitochondrial health. And I think that for you, I think for anybody, what I tell people, particularly if you try MOTC and you don't have the best experience with it, a lot of people will get fatigue when using it. And that's usually they're either taking too high of a dose, or their mitochondria just can't handle it, because the MOTC is going to drive the mitochondria to work harder. And when you already have mitochondria that aren't working, you need to get it healed. You need to prime it, just like you said, that's a good word for it. The mitochondria can be in their best form, if you will, to utilize the MOTC to do what you want it to do, which is more of an energy driving type peptide. So I think that you definitely had some stuff going on there that you were sensitive to. And then that's why after you did the SS31 that the MOTC really came into play and really helped you.
Yeah. So I think out of the two, or just doing a cycle of SS31 and then doing a cycle of MOTC, I noticed a considerable difference when I did that. And
mine,
the grogginess, the fatigue, etc., it was just considerably less. I just remember being like, wow, I just feel alive.
Yeah.
So that's a combo that I would say worked really well for me personally. I also love NAD, like probably a little too much.
Yes, I've been telling you, you probably need to cycle off that for a while.
Which we'll get there. But that's another one I've really liked for energy specifically, just across the board. And probably my two favorite, I'm a tired girl. Okay, guys, so if you struggle with fatigue, hi, my name's Maddie. Welcome. Two of my other favorites that I've cycled in tandem with one another was DSIP, which is the deep sleep inducing peptide, and Selenq, which is more of a central nervous system regulator or calmer, if you will.
It's a modulating peptide as well. Both of those are.
And I think I did both for about a month. I can't really remember, but I remember coming into work. I don't just cry at work all the time, guys. Okay, I promise. But I came into work and I cried. This is happy tears, because I told my mom, I truly believe that cycle of both of those peptides together took me out of fight or flight. And on top of that, I was getting 40 minutes more probably of deep and REM sleep. My HRV has been off the charts since I cycled that as well. Like, I'm talking like 50s to 70s is where my HRV normally sits now, which I think is crazy.
That is crazy. I mean, it's, you know, I struggle with my HRV. It's terrible, because I'm usually like in the teens, in the high teens to in the 20s, and it doesn't seem to matter. No matter what I do, I can't get my HRV up. And it's interesting, and I told you this the other day, I listened to a podcast probably a year or so ago of this guy that's like this really well-known professional athletic trainer, and he worked with college and pro athletes, and one of his big things was HRV, because he knew that if his athlete's HRVs weren't around 75, then he wasn't going to get the best out of them. So he would track their HRV, and there was, I guess there was, like, from what he said with the metrics that they were measuring, there was a huge difference in their output and their workouts and even their mental focus with the HRVs that high. So when you came to me and said your HRV had gone up that much, and specifically, I think, as a result from those, the combination of those two peptides, I love to hear stuff like that. And now, did it raise my HRV? 100%. Not as dramatically as it raised yours. Sometimes I find, too, with younger people, you'll see more of a dramatic type of influence of these peptides in a lot of ways because your body's just better primed for them because you're younger. I also see that with people that are a lot older because they have so much healing to do that, you know, people are in their 70s and 80s. That they tend to see a pretty drastic benefit from it as well because they have more healing to do. But I think that out of all the ones that you've taken, that combination of those two have really been life-changing for you. And I'll let you speak to that. But the other thing I want to emphasize here with those peptides is that they are modulatory peptides, meaning they are training your brain, your nervous system to do things in a new and a different way to make it more efficient. So it's kind of teaching it how to work more efficiently. So then when you get off of it, you have sustaining benefits from it. You don't have to keep taking it. Now you may need to cycle it, but you don't have to just keep taking it.
Yeah. And that's one of those where, I mean, I will, you know, if I know I have a big day or something, or if I'm feeling stressed from the day, I still will just take a little dose of it here and there. But for the most part, since I've cycled it, I think I did that about 3 months ago, maybe more. And I really, I mean, my sleep, HRV, et cetera, has been incredibly consistent. So I would say those are probably two of my favorites for sure.
Okay. What? Let's move on to another question. I think I love hearing your insight to what's worked and what's not. I know you're often my guinea pig in a lot of these things. And I'm always like, hey, try this.
Someone's got to try it.
Yeah. What do you think, how do you think things like TikTok and Instagram have influenced, in particular, your generation when it comes to peptides? Because you're seeing them everywhere. So what do you think, how do you think that that's playing into all of this?
I think there's two sides of this. There's so many things I can say. I think it's kind of like everything else on social media, the internet, the zeitgeist of it all, where there's so much misinformation about it. And it's so new that I think a lot of people are just automatically, like I've seen people just completely turn away from it because it's also, I think, in this Joe Rogan-y bro sphere, if you will, where I see a lot of young men like just kind of doing it for, it's like muscle building stuff or whatever.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No. If that's what you want to gain out of it, like I've been on peptides that do that as well. I'm not knocking it. I just think it's kind of gotten that, it's gotten a bad rap a little bit because of that. But I've also, there's a whole other side of that, like anything else, where there's a true health and well, I mean, it's what we do. There's a true curiosity and wanting to learn more and how to optimize your own biochemistry. So I think it's, I mean, I don't know. It's really,
I mean, I think you can see both sides of that. I think you can see particularly not, I don't want to just stereotype, but I think you can look at women and they're like, oh, well, they're interested in it for weight loss.
And it's only GLP.
Only GLP.
Really what I see. Like the ads that I get because I'm constantly training my algorithms to spit me out ads like this more out of curiosity. Every ad I get is for a GLP, which I find kind of gross and slimy a little bit just because of what we do. But I mean, I know that's not what you and I specifically are. That's not our mission in doing what we do.
I always tell people, particularly with the GLPs, none of this is an easy button. And I think that's where like TikTok and Instagram get people in trouble because they think, oh, I'll inject this peptide, whether you're a guy wanting to build muscle or a girl wanting to lose weight or vice versa. You know, there was this big trend on social media about retatrutide for a while where all these bodybuilders were using it to lean out. And that's a slippery slope. That is a powerful weight loss peptide. Now, it does a lot of other remarkable things. But when you have someone who's already very lean coming to you saying, hey, is Retta a good fit for me? That might not be my go-to. You know, I might say, no, you may want to look into some of these growth hormone peptides that can help with building muscle mass and that sort of thing. And so I think there's a balance in it all for young women who are really wanting to maybe shed some pounds, more importantly, get metabolically healthy. You know, I think you have to, the lifestyle factors
are so important. I was going to say, in terms of like the D-SIP peptide for me, for example, I didn't always used to have a strict bedtime or a wake up time or any of that. Like my sleep hygiene in and of itself was already terrible.
It was horrible.
It was really bad. So that's one of those things where I look at this as a supplemental add-on in my life where, like you said, there's not an easy button for any of these things. If you're eating pizza and donuts every day, just because you're on a GLP does not mean that you're going to lose weight. Same thing with my sleep. If I was going to bed at 2 a.m. and waking up at 6 every day and taking that peptide, that wasn't going to benefit me. So I think that also needs to be brought into the conversation as well. But it's just the internet of things with that is people want the quick fix. And sure, I think it's more marketed that way than anything. And that's where I sit there and I get frustrated because I'm like, that's not how anything in life works, obviously, let alone this. But
I mean, I get inquiries all the time for people that will say, hey, I've been taking this for a few days and I'm not getting any benefit from it. And I'm like, okay, well, you have to give it some time.
Girl, hold on.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Yeah. And like to your point, like the oxytocin you were super sensitive to, I can take that and be fine. You know, what works for one person may not work for someone else. For GHKCU to really work for me, I had to up my dose before I really started seeing the real benefit from it. But you're not going to start there. And it was several cycles of me going through that until I figured out, well, this is what works for me.
And that's more important, I think, in this conversation. And that's why I gave the precursor of please take what I say with a grain of salt, because my individual experience is not going to be your individual experience. It's going to be uniquely whatever it is based on your biochemistry. And that's also why we always recommend with everything. And I can personally be a testament to this of microdosing everything to fight, like, just figure out one, how you're going to react, but two, what actually is benefiting you or what's not. I think that's very important in this conversation. And that's not, I don't see anything like that in these conversations online. And that's honestly, I think, what scares me the most.
Well, I think when you have literally seconds to get the clickbait that you want, if you will, to get the amount of likes that you want, the followers that you want, it has to be like this big, sexy thing that people are going to be like, oh, I want to try that.
Right.
And I call it being Instagrammed or being TikToked. I've fallen for it, not necessarily with peptides.
Oh, I bought a steamer last month off of TikTok, guys. I have fallen victim.
Well, you know, it's funny. Remember, I bought the same steamer.
You came over.
You're like, did you get that on TikTok? I was like, I totally did. And so
it worked.
Yeah, it actually does work. So
I'll drop the link if anyone wants it.
We have no affiliation, folks. Anyway, I think that when you're talking about something that you're injecting into your body,
it's much more serious and people should take it much more seriously
than buying a steamer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Glad we got that out of the way, guys.
Okay. Oh, well, let me say this before we move on from the TikTok and Instagram thing. I think that's not even an age thing anymore. I think that because I see women my age that get on there and they look fabulous. They have like, oh, I want to look like her or whatever. And she's saying, I take this peptide. And so people are like, I want that peptide. So they go and buy it. They know nothing about it. They don't research it, but they think they're going to look like that person. They don't know what that person is eating. They don't, you know, their nutritional plan. They don't know what that person is working out, how they're working out. They don't know how their individual genetics are coming into play for them to look that way.
If they have work done.
If they have a filter on them, you know. So I think that's the scary part, I think, about some of this, which I guess really just isn't something that your generation alone deals with. I think that's kind of cross generations with social media.
I agree.
What else? Let's see. What is something that surprised you that you weren't expecting when you started to come work at the Peptique?
There are a lot of back end hurdles, just given the industry that we're in, because this isn't an FDA regulated industry that I just was not anticipating whatsoever. not a bad thing necessarily, but it presents a very unique business structure for us because we're constantly restructuring. There is no, we're truly doing this day by day, week by week. And again, it's with the intent of we want to be able to help and reach as many people as possible because we have had, so many people have emailed us, messaged us on various platforms just saying like, thank you about whatever it was that we were able to help with.
Yeah.
But just being in the industry that we're in because of the big pharma of it all. And that's presented a lot of unique challenges that I was not, I knew it was going to be a challenge. It's just the extent to which it has been was very surprising for sure.
I agree with that. I think even, for me, I went into this very naively thinking this is something that I'm passionate about, that I love, that's going to help people. And I was so excited about it, not recognizing even a little bit the hurdles that would be thrown our way just to keep moving forward. I feel like we've learned to pivot really fast. And
you have to.
Yeah. And it's been a crazy ride the last year. I think I was also very concerned because I was taking you away from a very well-paying job. And I don't know what's going to happen. I can't guarantee anything that's going to happen tomorrow, let alone, a month, 6 months, a year from now. But that's just life in general, right?
Keeps it exciting, guys. Keeps you on your toes.
I mean, just when we think we have something figured out, we're like, okay, we've got this figured out. Something happens.
I mean, anytime I think I have it figured out, I'm going to go, I wake up every day the next day and I go, can't wait for that to be different. Literally can't wait.
Well, this happened even yesterday because we got something we feel like it's really well figured out. And we both were like, don't breathe, don't move. Let's just hope this sticks for a while, And so, and then today presented its own new share of hurdles.
Right.
With things that we thought we had figured out, right?
It's truly, when I say it's day by day. But I think, I don't know, it keeps it interesting at the very least.
I think in the beginning, it would stress me out so much. And now, it's not that it doesn't stress me out, but I also am able to kind of just be like, okay, we've gotten through everything else. We'll get through this, And so I've kind of learned that's like my new normal when it comes to this space,
You have to be flexible. You have to know how to pivot.
Yeah.
You won't survive. And that's kind of been, for someone, I'm the eldest daughter, guys. I came out rigid, just 5 inches. So for me, I'm like, what do you mean we're changing again? But I think to that point, yeah, you really just have to let go of what you think things should be and just really embrace the reality of what they are, no matter how irritating at times that may be. But again, the end goal is to help people. And so with that in mind, I think that's what makes it easy.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up here in a minute. But let's see, two more questions, I think. What do you think? Is there something that you think is important for our audience to know?
I've been waiting on this one.
So I
am director of operations for the Peptique. That's my formal title. And under the umbrella of my tasks is managing our info email. So when y'all are emailing, you're talking to me. Hi. So just be nice to me. Most of y'all are. That's basically it. And also, something that does make me giggle is sometimes some of y'all will tell me that you know Tara, and that just makes me laugh because I'm like, I know Tara.
No.
I don't know, but that I would also say that everything that we do is quality first and customer service oriented first in that same vein. I wouldn't inject anything that we take if I didn't think that it was clean, safe, the best quality that it can be. And so, yeah, I would just say that, please, if you don't know anything about our company, that is the most important thing I would say to both of us. That and just making sure we're helping people actually with their health long term.
Yeah, we recently, and this is not something I've mentioned because I'm really waiting until all the products come back, which is going to take some time. But I would say over 50% of our products have our new testing regimen attached to them. All of our biggest sellers do. But we started out just doing the standard purity testing. Is the identity what it says it is? Is it actually MOTC that you're getting or GHKCU that you're getting? Are you getting the right amount? Is it actually 10 milligrams or is it 50 milligrams? Is the purity at 99% or better? You know, so we started out with just that basic testing. And then a few months in, we decided to layer in the endotoxin testing. And a few months ago, we started doing sterility and heavy metal testing.
And we do fentanyl.
We just started doing fentanyl. Yeah. And so we have to go through all seven of these requirements in order to make it into our inventory. And that's just something that I'm really proud of and I feel really good about. And look, I think people don't realize, like, we get stuff back that we can't put into the inventory. And we're constantly struggling to make sure that with our suppliers and stuff, with the labs and stuff, that we are getting what we need to get in order to keep it into our inventory, you know.
A perfect example of one of the many hurdles that I would say we face is if it's not basically perfect product, I would say that we throw it out every single time.
We do. So. And it's just a waste because it's not something that they want back and it's not something that we can use. And so it's truly a waste. But so I think that is important for people to know. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. Last question. What's the hardest thing about working for your mom?
People actually ask me that a lot. People tell me all the time that they don't know how we do it. I think that you and I do have kind of a strange rapport, maybe, in that sense, is that we have a good way of, like, switching in between the mom-daughter-employee-boss, to an extent. I don't know. I like to say a lot of the times, I'm like, all the things that you would want to say to your boss that you normally can't, I can, and vice versa. So I think we can just hash it out right then and there, but we also move on pretty quickly. So I would say that's honestly a plus. I think the most, it's not even you, I think it's dad, is the most. Because my dad gets irritated because he's like, you're stealing mom away from me. Go home. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you want me to do. I'm sorry if I'm jealous, but.
He gets jealous of my time because I am a bit of a workaholic. I know, Maddie just gave me a look.
A bit is the undersell of the century, ladies and gentlemen.
And so I think for me, I think I have a hard time because I see you every single day. And like, for example, we're going to be together this weekend at the lake with our closest family friends, which we're all excited about, the Mock West weekend. And then we're going to be the next weekend, we're all going to be in Boston together for your best friend getting married. And so we're together all the time. And as a true workaholic, and because you work for me, it's like I always want to be like, hey, Maddie, what about da 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 da? If it's in my brain, you know, I want to get it off the brain and talk to you about it. And so I have to really pause and tell myself that can wait till Monday, you know, because there I want there to be times where it's truly like I'm just your mom, not your boss, you know. And I think that's been a hard line for me to kind of figure out.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing, though, is when you're an entrepreneur, you're always working, like it just doesn't stop. So for me, it's kind of one of those things like, OK, it's just par for the course. Like,
yeah,
if we have to talk about something. We have to talk about something, you know.
But it is annoying when dad's here. He just messes with like the mojo that we have going and like you're messing with our rhythm here.
With the feng shui.
Yeah. And like earlier he left to go play golf. We were all like, thank God he left. No, we adore Frank.
We love Frank. No one tell him.
No, he didn't listen. I'm not worried about that. He never listens. But yeah, that's kind of funny that we both think that. But okay, what else? Anything else before we sign off?
No, just thanks for having me on. Let us know if you want me back on, guys. I mean, I'll be here. Don't worry.
Well, thank you for taking the time to deal with your cringy mom on her podcast. And to wrap this up, guys, just a couple of things that I always like to mention. If you want to email me, the email's in the show notes. Please email me at that email address and not the Peptique address. I cannot answer any questions there. If you are a woman and you want to learn more about peptides or you know a lot about peptides and want to share your information or just learn from a community of women, I started a group called the Women's Peptide Collective. It's totally free. I love it. I think we're up to almost 2,300 members now. So there's a lot of people contributing different experiences that they've had, asking questions that you can also learn from other people answering. I learned from this group pretty much on a daily basis. I try to get on there at least once a day and answer questions. So you do get a little bit of personal contact with me through that platform as well. And so that link is in the show notes. Go do that. And things are really crazy, as you just heard, the next few weeks. I'm going to be gone a lot, but I am going to try to get at least one more episode out next week. If not, it'll be the following week. So just hang in there with me. I truly appreciate the patience. And until next time, everyone, have a blessed day.